Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet him, greet him, treat him, and street him. Today's date is November 6th, 2018, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is TXA, Not for Hemorrhages in Your Head. And our guest skeptic is Dr. Robert Edmonds. Bob is an emergency physician in the U.S. Air Force in Virginia. This is Bob's 8th visit to the SGEM. Welcome back, Bob.
Thanks, Ken. Hey, I'm going to keep showing up as long as you let me, so.
Whoa. Hey, you're getting ahead of yourself. You got to give a disclaimer. Come on, get the disclaimer out of the way, and then we can do banter.
Of course, the views and opinions of this podcast do not represent the United States government or the U.S. Air Force.
Oh, whew, now we can say anything. So eight times you've been a guest skeptic.
I mean, I'm a nerd. I love evidence-based medicine, and it's a good way to get the message out.
It is a fantastic way. I love the power of social media for knowledge translation. You have been on the show so many times. You know the routine. You know, like, we start with a case. So what case do you have for us?
All right. So your first patient is a stroke alert for a 67-year-old male living in a nursing home. Presents with severe right-sided upper and lower extremity weakness about an hour ago while eating a meal. You get a stat head CT, which shows an intracerebral hemorrhage. In addition to controlling his elevated blood pressure, you wonder if there's more you can offer this patient to improve his outcome and odds of survival. A resident you're working with points out that TXA, tranexamic acid, has been shown to decrease mortality for other hemorrhagic conditions and questions if that could be helpful.
Well, stroke due to intracerebral hemorrhage, or ICH, comprises approximately 20% of all strokes, but about half of all stroke deaths worldwide. And currently, the only intervention known to adjust mortality in these cases is blood pressure management.
Yeah, lowering blood pressure in ICH cases was covered in SGEM 73, How Low Can You Go? The AHA guidelines were updated since those episodes and recommend the following.
Yeah, so one recommendation was for ICH patients presenting with a systolic blood pressure between 150 and 220 and without contraindications to acute blood pressure treatment, acute lowering of blood pressure to 140 is safe and can be effective for improving functional outcome.
Also, for ICH patients presenting with a systolic over 220, it may be reasonable to consider aggressive reduction of BP with continuous IV infusion and frequent blood pressure monitoring, which was only a level of C and a class 2B recommendation.
Now, in SGEM 172, don't bring my blood pressure down intensively, the attached 2 trial, it did not support intensively lowering blood pressure. There was no statistical difference in death or disability between intensive blood pressure reduction, and that's getting it less than 140, versus standard blood pressure reduction, and that was getting it less than 180 systolic in patients with acute intracerebral hemorrhage.
Yeah, so the authors looked at this and wondered if there's something more you could do. TXA is cheap. It's been shown to improve mortality and trauma, like in CRASH 2, presumably due to its antifibrinolytic effect.
And we've discussed TXA a number of times on the SGEM, including for epistaxis, trauma, and postpartum hemorrhage. And we'll list those in the show notes.
So before this trial, there was only 2 small RCTs that used TXA with a combined total of 54 patients. It provided no clear evidence of benefit or harm.
So what's the question we're going to try to answer today, Bob?
Does administration of tranexamic acid reduce hematoma expansion and improve outcomes in adults with stroke due to intracerebral hemorrhage?
And the reference?
Sprigg et al., Tranexamic Acid for Hyperacute Primary Intracerebral Hemorrhage, the TITCH 2 trial, an international randomized placebo-controlled phase 3 superiority trial in Lancet 2018.
Let's run through the PICO. What was the population?
Adults with acute intracerebral hemorrhage admitted within 8 hours of symptom onset.
And there was a number of exclusions, and I'll list them in the show notes. What was the intervention?
Administration of TXA as a 1 gram loading dose in 100 milliliters of normal saline over 10 minutes, followed by another 1 gram in 250 milliliters of NS over 8 hours.
And what did they compare it to?
Placebo, normal saline administered with an identical regimen.
And let's go through the outcomes. What was their primary outcome?
Functional status at day 90 as assessed by the modified Rankin scale.
And there were a number of secondary outcomes, and I'll list those in the show notes. The author's conclusions were, quote, functional status 90 days after intracerebral hemorrhage did not differ significantly between patients who had received tranexamic acid and those who'd received placebo, despite a reduction in early deaths and serious adverse events. Larger randomized trials are needed to confirm or refute a clinical significant treatment effect. End of quote. All right, let's go through the quality checklist for randomized clinical trials. Bob, did they focus on emergency department patients?
I'm unsure. Presumably they did, but it wasn't explicitly stated. The inclusion was just that all patients were admitted in 8 hours for presentation in the hospital, which may include clinic patients who are being directly admitted.
And did they adequately randomize these patients?
Yeah.
Did they conceal the randomization?
Yes.
Did they do an intention to treat analysis?
Yes.
And were the patients recruited consecutively?
It's not explicitly stated. It's written that patients were eligible for inclusion if they were admitted within 8 hours presentation, but it doesn't mention at all if this was consecutive.
The patients in both groups were similar with respect to prognostic factors.
Yes.
Was everyone unaware of group allocation?
Yep.
Did they treat everybody equally except for the intervention?
Yes.
Was their follow-up complete?
Yes.
Did they consider patient important outcomes?
I think so.
And the treatment effect, was it large enough and precise enough to be clinically significant?
So, no, because there was no significant treatment effect, but that appears to be a precise observation.
All right, well, let's go through the key result. They enrolled just over 2,300 patients into the trial. The mean age was 69 years old, with 56% being male. The median time from stroke onset to randomization was 3.6 hours. Bob, what was the key result?
There was no difference in modified Rankin scale at 90 days between those who received tranexamic acid and placebo.
Yeah, and we can drill down into that primary outcome looking at an adjusted odds ratio. And it was 0.88 with the 95% confidence interval spanning 1, so that means no difference, and their p-value is 0.11. How about the secondary outcomes?
Well, interestingly enough, in general, there were no significant differences in any of the day 90 functional outcomes between groups, including length of hospital stay and discharge disposition.
Yeah, but by day 7, fewer patients had died in the TXA group, 9%, versus the placebo group, and that was 11%. And they got a p-value there of 0.04.
That's true, but survival did not differ between the groups over 90 days. They found an adjusted hazard ratio of 0.92 with a 95% confidence interval between 0.77 and 1.1 with a p-value of 0.37.
All right, Bob. Those are the key results. Now it's time to talk nerdy to me.
All right, so the first point is safety. So although the trial failed to show a benefit for patients, it did show a decrease in serious adverse events, which notably included no increase in venous thromboembolism, which actually had a p-value of 0.98 between the two groups. So the author points out how this study group was significantly older and had more comorbidities than previous studies of TXA. This suggests if there's another condition that a patient with a hemorrhagic stroke has, like a trauma resulting from an MVC from having a stroke, it does not appear less safe merely because of the presence of a hemorrhagic stroke.
And the second nerdy point we wanted to talk about was the modified Rankin scale score. A previous study by Wilson et al. In 2005 has demonstrated substantial inter-rater reliability. In addition, these assessments were done by telephone interview. And if they couldn't reach the person by telephone, they were mailed a survey. And this brings into question the accuracy of the primary outcome assessment.
The third point is early deaths. So, like we said before, the study did show a reduction in early deaths by day 7, but the difference disappeared by day 90. There's no difference in length of hospital stay or discharge disposition, so it's hard to say what these patients' clinical course looked like. But the participants' 7-day NIHSS scores were the same between groups, so it suggests that administration of TXA did not result in a temporary improvement in functional status in the treatment patients that showed a delay in death between day 7 and 90. So it doesn't look like delaying that death that otherwise would have happened resulted in someone who still was more functional.
And the fourth point was about ordinal analysis. Stroke outcomes using the modified Rankin scale has traditionally been used as a dichotomous outcome. It's usually divided into a good neurologic outcome, 0 to 1 or 0 to 2, or a poor neurologic outcome, and that's 2-6 or 3-6. Proponents of using an ordinal analysis argue that there's more granularity that can be found in an ordinal shift approach rather than using this dichotomous approach. A problem with this is that it assumes a uniformity of the treatment effect across the entire scale. And we've already mentioned the problem with inter-rater reliability of this scale. Expecting precision from the clinical uncertainty in stroke outcome measure is a problem. I mean, we can all agree, okay, they've got no disability. They've got a modified Rankin scale of 0. And I think we can all agree, Bob, back me up on this, on death, a modified Rankin score of scale of 6. Yes, they're not just mostly dead, they're dead.
Yes.
But it becomes much more difficult to agree on the other ordinals. The way ordinal analysis can be used to manipulate conclusions can be seen in the IST3 trial. And that was a negative trial for the primary outcome, but then was spun into a positive trial using a secondary ordinal analysis. Now, we discussed this on SGEM number 29, and if you're interested in learning more about the issues with ordinal analysis, check out the great work that Rory Spiegel's done on EM Nerd.
Our fifth and final point is hypothesis generating. So the authors discuss some of their subgroup analysis in the discussion. These are interesting, but they should not be overinterpreted. They also discuss that they may not have given TXA soon enough to show benefit, but again, that's only hypothesis generating. If they want to answer these specific questions about certain subgroups and timing, they need to design a properly powered trial of its own. Until then, all we can really do is speculate.
All right, well, those are our nerdy points that we wanted to talk about. Now, can you comment on the author's conclusions and compare them to the SGEM's conclusion?
Yeah, so we agree with the author's conclusion, especially with their assertion that additional studies are needed to confirm or refute a clinically significant treatment effect. They did find a statistically significant reduction in early deaths by day 7, and larger trials could show this to be a true finding and not just noise.
All right, how about an SGEM bottom line?
Tranexamic acid does not currently have evidence of improving outcomes in hemorrhagic stroke, and routine administration cannot be recommended at this time.
And can you give us a case resolution?
So you manage the patient's blood pressure and contact the appropriate specialists for admission to the ICU. You commend the resident for their thought process, but inform them of this trial and that TXA did not show benefit, so you won't give it.
And how about clinically applying this study?
There's really no change to my current management of a hemorrhagic stroke, but if the stroke results in a significant trauma or other condition requiring TXA, this study may be used to justify giving TXA for the other condition, as there were no increased serious adverse events in that trial.
So how are you going to take this information and translate it to the patient's bedside?
So I would tell the patient and their family, we're going to do everything we can to control your blood pressure to help increase your chances of doing well. We'll be talking with some other doctors that will be helping you while you stay in our hospital.
All right, time for the Keener contest, and there was no winner last week. Perhaps the question was too hard. The answer was the first factor 10A inhibitor was isolated from the salivary gland of a Mexican leech called Hymenteria officinalis. Ooh, I got through that, Bob. All right, what's the question this week?
A little bit easier, hopefully. How often is there hematoma enlargement in patients with an intracerebral hemorrhagic stroke?
Well, if you know the answer to this question, then send an email to thesgem@gmail.com. The first correct answer will receive a cool skeptical prize. Now, there are some other FOMED resources on this paper, and I'll put a list in the show notes. But it's great to have you back on the SGEM, Bob. And this is number 8. I'm going to need to start thinking now about something special for your 10th appearance.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, too. Until then, let's keep being skeptical and reading what I can.
Well, if you're going to keep being skeptical, remind everybody else what they should do.
Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it in The Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
See you for number 9.
See you then.